Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now and then, you and I will find ourselves at a party, a gathering of friends or friends of friends, and sometimes we'll meet someone who is new to us. We've never been in a conversation with them, and you'll learn all kinds of great and interesting stories. Some of you love that kind of scene. You love meeting new people and hearing new stories, and others among us do not. That is not where you would want to be. Not long ago, I ended up in such a place, at such a party, talking with a friend of a friend of a friend, something like that. And we talked about the easy things first, as you do. We talked about the weather, it's easy. We talked about football, also easy. And then we started to talk about family. I shared a few stories about my three boys. And then this man that I was with shared some stories about his two sons. Now, he was about 65, and what he shared about his sons was neat to hear, but that wasn't the striking part. It was how he went about talking about his boys that caught my heart. And our conversation went a little like this. He said, well, we have two boys, and the first boy, he did really good in school. High school was really easy for him. Went off to the university with a bunch of scholarships, and then graduated just no problem at all with any of his classes. Went on to med school, did really good there, and he's a doctor now. Can you believe it? We did not see that coming, but now he's a doctor, and he's getting used to it. He's getting used to the doctor life. Pretty busy. And we keep track of him. We see him every once in a while. We go down to his new place. He got a new house down in one of the new subdivisions. We're pretty proud of him. I said, well, that's great to hear. I'd like to meet this guy. And then it got quiet. And it got quiet, and I waited for him to maybe say a word or two about his other boy, but it's like he didn't want to go there. And so I maybe made the mistake, maybe this is a good thing, but I said, well, what about the other boy? What's he like? Well, he lives close by. That's a good thing. He did okay in school too, but he didn't have the same drive in schooling, not like his other brother. He went to university, same university, but he just did a year. He wasn't quite sure what he wanted to do with his life, so he didn't want to rack up a bunch of student loans and all that. So he did a year, and he promised his mother and me that he'd go back. When he figured out what he wanted to do, he'd go back to the university. But that's been a few years ago now. And I guess that's okay. You know, it's his life, his choices. Then I said, well, what keeps him busy when he's figuring things out? You know, he has his things. He's got his hobbies. For work, he's a janitor down at the elementary school. He works nights there, and he helps out with some of the activities. And I guess some of the kids really, really think he's pretty neat. But what can you do? These are the choices that our kids make, right? They pick their own routes. And I said, well, I suppose they do. That's how the conversation ended between us, and I imagine you've been in conversations like that yourself, where one child, one person is really celebrated, and then another is almost celebrated. There's a lot of things that could go on in a person's heart that might cause that to be, and one of them is that it's really easy to celebrate the marks of success that we're used to celebrating. It's really easy to talk about these things, right? I mean, look at the first boy. Med school, that's pretty cool. That is an accomplishment. Ability to afford a nice house, that is also a great gift, right? These are easy to talk about because we gravitate to what we celebrate. We gravitate to what we celebrate. And what do we celebrate? We celebrate greatness, or at least how we understand greatness, how our culture around us celebrates greatness. And the first boy had those traits. It was easy to talk about those traits. And the other boy, at least, didn't have those traits yet. Not in the way that we would typically talk about success in a lot of our circles. And yet I ask you, which boy is greater? Is one of those boys greater than the others? And I see many mothers out there shaking their heads. No. No. Neither of those boys is greater than the other, but logic like this pervades our lives, our cultures, and we see this logic inside of our scripture reading today, where James and John and their mom come up to Jesus and say, "We want you to do us a favor." Well, what are they looking for? They were looking for a position of power, of influence, of sway in whatever was to come of this kingdom of God, this kingdom that Jesus was talking about. They wanted to be in on it, in the inner circle. But Jesus looks at all three of them and he says, "You don't know what you're asking for." He looked at the boys and he said, "Are you able to drink the cup that I am supposed to drink?" And we heard in the story, the boys go, "Sure." They don't know that this story that Jesus is on, this life that Jesus is living, is headed toward a cross. Jesus tries to communicate that so many times to the disciple, but the cross just doesn't connect with them. Not yet, not yet. But they understand a different trajectory. They understand the trajectory that their culture prepares them to understand, just like us today. They understood that greatness was about power, influence, sway. It's not about a cross. And so when they asked Jesus, "We want one to be on the right and one on the left," they don't see what that means. Instead, they are trying to position themselves next to the man they understand has authority. They're doing their best. They even brought their mom in on it. And it's like today, James and John being some 5'4", asking their mom to tell the coach, "Can I play varsity ball?" I don't know. The other 10 disciples are not happy when they hear that James and John and their mom are trying to get a good position. They're irritated, angry. And Jesus says to all present, "Enough of this. In this world, people push one another around to try to get power, to try to get sway and position. They push others around, and then they say the great ones are the ones who can push the strongest, either with physical force or verbal force. It doesn't matter. The great ones are the ones who can push and get what they want. But you know what? That is not greatness. That is not strength. And that is not what you and I will celebrate. Jesus then says, "Whoever among you is thinking about becoming great should set aside his own self, his agenda, and serve others. If you're focused on being first in the great race of life," Jesus says, "take off your shoes for a moment and wash somebody's feet." It's as if Jesus is saying, stop grasping for power, stop grasping for pride, stop grasping for positions of cultural authority, Stop celebrating the vulgarity and the verbal violence, even the physical violence that it takes to get into those places of positions. Stop. There is another way. And Jesus desires for us to gravitate and to celebrate His way. Indeed, Jesus is the other way. And Jesus revealed that He was the other way when He said to His disciples, "The Son of Man came into this world not to conquer the world and turn everyone into a servant who does what he wants, right when he wants, that is not what the Son of Man is about. No, the Son of Man came to give His life as a ransom for the many. A ransom so that those who are not at home would be brought home again, back into the arms of their Heavenly Father." The story of Jesus says you do not need to push or shove or bite or kick your way into having a name in this world. You do not need to lash out. You do not need to make sure others know you are powerful. You're not alone. You are loved deeply. You are cared for. And now, dear friends of Christ, you have been brought back into the arms of our Heavenly Father. You have been ransomed back home, back to where God desires you to be. And this God, your Heavenly Father, is a great advocate. Therefore, be at peace. Be at peace. Whether the race is to the top or to the bottom, release the drive to conquer and to prove yourself, for you have been proven for. You have already been given the award, the gift, the treasure that Jesus Himself won when He conquered death on His cross. When He conquered death through the empty tomb. And when you were baptized, you were given the mark, given the award upon the forehead and upon the heart, marking you now and forever as a child, a beloved member in the household of God. Be at peace. And while you are at peace, serve those around you. Love them. Love them wherever they are, whoever they are, for they too are cherished by God. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all the things we try so hard to understand, guard your hearts and your minds in this Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.